The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The one bit of good news that came through late yesterday was that it looks like the Aer Lingus dispute is finally over. They are going to issue a recommendation to their members to accept the Labour Court 17.75% pay increase. And to be fair, who wouldn't? Kevin Byrne, retired Lieutenant Colonel and airport safety and security expert, is with us. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Jonathan.
I have to say that, you know, it's a done deal at this point. They've called off the work to rule, so everyone can breathe easy.
Take time out a minute. The 700 of the 800 pilots are, of course, in IALPA, and with a recommendation like that, I'd be very surprised if they turned it down, you know. But the I looked at the website for Aer Lingus just a few minutes ago, and there are still cancellations up to Tuesday the 16th. That's next Tuesday. For example, the Shamrock 106 returning from New York at 9 o'clock in the evening, New York time, will not fly. Whether they get back to service very quickly or not, I don't know. Sometimes it's quicker to leave in place and safer what the changes they've made and not, you know, bring people back again. They've made these changes. People have bought their new tickets. They've got the new arrangements. They're, you know, happy with them, I suppose, to some extent. And maybe the old system will kick in from Wednesday morning, but I'm not sure. But people should follow the Aer Lingus website because it is changing from time to time. So,
but the bottom line is, if you went on your holidays, there's going to be no further strike action that's going
exactly
to prevent you from going back.
And that's good news from that point of view, because the flexibility that you need for the aviation rosters, in particular at summertime now, will be back in action over the weekend. So things will get better. Slowly at first and then rapidly, and by Wednesday of next week we'd say goodbye to this, and it's good news all around because strikes are not good for the summer season in aviation terms.
I just wonder how much damage has been done to the reputation of pilots in all of this, because a very bright light has been shone on how well they're paid, and everybody has huge respect for the two people
indeed
at the front of the plane.
Indeed.
But at the same time, people are going, you're turning down a what because you have a what?
Yeah, but they said the same thing about the contracts, for example, for, you know, public only, you know, consultant surgeons, that kind of thing. A quarter million starting, is that too much, too little? I always thought of the pilots being like surgeons. They've got a huge amount of, you know, technical knowledge, and they've got examinations and testing and, you know, sim training and that kind of thing. And yet they have to fly it as well. They're a bit like surgeons. They have to do the job up front all the time, and they're constantly on different rosters, and it's 24/7 from that point of view. So I never minded that much, because if an airline is well run, there will be profit there. Look at the success of the low-cost carriers, and the pilots in those organisations, I know that for a fact, are worked reasonably well, reasonably hard. In fact, they do love coming to it. That's true of all the people who work in the low-cost carriers and probably elsewhere, you know. So if the profits are there and they can be justified, I have no problem paying them and keeping them happy as long as they can, because they have suffered, you know, losses in the last 7, 8, 10 years. And this has been festering, to be honest. I spoke to a senior pilot just a couple of weeks ago, and he said, look, this is coming to a head because it's been on the boil for more than a decade now. And the union, we're keen to see it finished. And now I hope it's been put to bed.
Well, it's been put to bed for Aer Lingus, but
yes.
Is there going to be a risk of contagion for IAG, which is
no,
the parent body?
I don't think so. And in fact, I think the people down in Madrid in the headquarters of IAG today would be very pleased about this, because it puts it to bed. No, other airlines have done their deals. Don't forget, there are different conditions in each airline, you know, be it in Germany or Holland or Spain or France. There's different conditions, different local circumstances, and the pay rates will be different. I didn't know until the strike took place, you know, recently, that many of the junior pilots would be living in the UK and flying back and forth to do their duties here in Dublin and in Ireland generally, because the cost of living in Dublin and places like it is so expensive. That's a sobering thought, isn't it? Do you think, you know, they fly back?
It is, and I know pilots who fly to their base because it's cheaper than,
yes,
than living
yes,
there,
yeah,
because they can fly with their own airline. Let's talk about Boeing.
Yes.
I've heard you talk a lot about Boeing over the last while. They've had issues. Before we get to their issues on the ground, they have an issue with space as well, because I just, before I started speaking to you, there's two people stuck on the International Space Station because the Boeing Starliner, which was the supposed replacement of the old space shuttle, is broken, and it's broken in space, and they can't get back down, and it's very embarrassing for Boeing.
It is. They'll have to go, maybe the Russians might have a spare space, but they're not talking to the Russians then. I'm not sure about the Europeans either, because they seem to have you know, taken different ways to it. The only good news is that the space station is fairly safe unless it gets, you know, hit by a bunch of micrometeorites, so they could stay up there really indefinitely. But it is unfortunate and most unpleasant. They're working really hard to solve that problem, and I think they'll have it done within the month, but I'm not sure. So in one more month in space, what's wrong with that?
Well, yeah, I suppose when you thought you were coming home, I mean, they missed the All-Ireland final. I mean, that's a significant thing for both of them. The two fatal crashes of the 737 MAX, which are well documented,
indeed,
were bad news for Boeing, and it's still plaguing the company.
Yeah, they did a deal. I didn't realise the detail of this. The Department of Justice is a very, you know, big and important place in the US federal system. And Boeing agreed that they would pay certain funds to not to be caught, not to be given a court day, so to speak. They wouldn't be charged like that. And it turns out now that last Sunday, the company has pleaded guilty. Boeing has pleaded guilty to conspiracy to defraud the government stemming from the two Boeing crashes that didn't do what they said they do in the first deal. So they've had another agreed deal with the Department of Justice. They're lucky to get away with it, in my opinion. But Boeing has agreed to an independent third-party monitor to oversee what they said they would do in terms of product improvement and quality control and all that kind of thing. They'll pay an additional $487 million over and above what they had paid in the first place as part of a settlement, and they'll invest another $455 million in additional compliance programs. And to pay for that, according to the newspaper reports, they're going to have to borrow $10 billion. But, you know, it's not all bad, I suppose, but it's not good news either, because you remember the door exploded off the Alaska Airlines aircraft on D-Day.
They had to then buy the. Was it? Did they buy the company that was the provider,
yes,
so that they could then stand over it a little bit more? It's bizarre.
It's really,
and their reputation's been shredded in the last while,
because they paid, for example, they did an upfront payment to Alaska Airlines, $150 million in compensation for the temporary grounding of this fleet, so to speak, on the MAX 900, and then other airlines are knocking on the door saying, "Hey, we were grounded too. Give us the money back," you know, and they're saying, "Look, quality control is dire." It is. I mean, putting a door in with no bolts. It seems incredible to me, because there's a system in place for maintenance and looking after aircraft and assembly. I've been in factories, you know, and there's a check and double check system, and somebody signs off to put a door in an aircraft, which is a plug, basically, pressurization. And the fact that it test flew and then it flew for a number of hours before this door blew out, it's an extraordinary piece of aviation safety in one way and failure on the other. So,
it's the failure of light touch regulation that the FAA took their eye off this. Boeing took advantage and cut corners, and as a result, but people have died.
That's the point. We were lucky nobody died in Alaska Airlines. The man sitting on the row behind which the video was taken was, you know, he was literally not sucked out. And if he had been two feet closer to the door, he would have been, you know. But the CEO of Boeing, Mr. Dave Calhoun, has agreed to leave the company at the end of the year because he hasn't done a good job. But don't cry for me, Argentina, because his going away package is $45 million, so he won't be starving in the short term anyway.
Well, no, he'll probably be all right, I suspect, on that. Let's talk about drones. Bobby Healy and his brilliant company, Manna. And,
yes,
and they've been flying around in parts of Galway and parts of North Dublin. Now the leafy suburbs of Dublin 4 are going to benefit from it.
Indeed. Drones mean no road vehicles, less noise and no pollution. That's the selling point. Like that, and not much disturbance in the point of view of no video recording, so they won't be looking over your back garden or looking at you, you know, in any other way. They may have them there if they've got to do a bit of navigation, but mostly they're self-navigating devices. So a company called Wing, the parent company is Alphabet, which has Google connections, they've announced plans to carry medical supplies and devices to Dublin hospitals. That's the Blackrock Health building out there, and St Vincent's Private Hospital in Dublin 4. We're very familiar with those, at least I am. And they're going to do it in conjunction with a company called Medtronic. It's a healthcare company. And this week, they should have started on Monday, they're going to do a drone delivery trial designed to show that drones are suitable for healthcare logistics. So instead of, you know, filling in a form, sending a thing off, and a van arrives in a couple of hours, this will be done much more quickly in a matter of minutes. And it's very good from that point of view. Now, there's 100 weekly flights supposed to be done this week. I'm thinking of leaving the studio and going out to look at it.
And just having a look. Yeah, absolutely. It's the equivalent of bird watching.
Isn't it? Yeah, it's not air spotters, because I'm not a spotter. But I was in Howth recently and I heard what I thought was a flying lawnmower. I said, what in the name of goodness is that noise? You know, and above my head at about 200 feet was a drone. Somebody had taken it out of the car park and flown it over. So the disturbance isn't that much. But this is a new commercial arrangement done in conjunction with the regulator standards. That's the Irish Aviation Authority. But 100 would be a few a day, and, you know, 20 a day, you'd see them coming back and forth, and they're testing it here. And the cargoes, what would you carry? Why would you bother? Well, things like ingestible cameras, which I wouldn't like the sound of, sutures, surgical tools, maybe heart valve repair products, and later, if it works well, they might carry pacemakers and implantable cardiac defibrillators, things up that might weigh two
expensive
kilos.
Little bits of gear
Absolutely,
to put in. I mean, you wouldn't trust it unless you knew it was going to get from
A to B. That's the whole point. Now, you have to have a landing pad, an LZ as the Americans call it, a landing zone like that, which is not publicly known yet. So I may have to do some spying when I get out there to see what happens. But this thing will come in. It won't land, of course. It will then drop on a combustible little cable, which will then lower down from about, I suspect, about 90 feet. Might be lower. 90 feet is not an unsafe height. I drop it down and then it's collected by somebody who's suitably, you know, equipped, and it flies away and it does it, you know, repeatedly, and it works very well. And that's the plan. And we'll see if that happens. So I haven't heard any complaints about it. So it either hasn't made...
I think people in Oranmore and Lusk and Balbriggan are well used to them now. Yeah. But you can see there's more companies coming in. Obviously, Manna was the lead, and then you had Alphabet and this new company coming in too. So look, we're going to get more used to it, and long may it continue. Imagine the joy of something landing from the sky. It's still something
I've yet to
experience.
Jonathan. That's the main thing. Can you imagine?
One text in here, the settlements for Boeing will filter to consumers. Eventually they will, because someone will have to pay the price, although Michael O'Leary, I'm sure, will continue to negotiate very strongly with Boeing.
That's right.
And not take advantage of their misfortune, but at least get a good deal. But you have annoyed people, Kevin, I hate to say.
I didn't mean to do that.
Yes, I'm sorry, but your guest has compared pilots, an entitled, cosseted group of overpaid bus drivers, to surgeons who save lives. Spare me the fantasy jobs of little boys that appear to have no link to reality. little boys and little girls. That's from Caroline. Caroline, you should know better. And one more. Pilots are not surgeons. Surgeons save lives. Pilots are glorified taxi drivers in the sky, ferrying drunken hen parties to Magaluf. And half the time they're not even flying. The plane is on autopilot. I throw it back to you, Kevin.
I understand all that, but the thing happens when something falls off the aircraft, the door blows out, or there's an emergency, or you have to divert, or whatever. That's when the skills of the pilot are tested. I didn't say they were surgeons. I just compared them in my own mind with the kind of training and requirement. They have to have the studies behind the technical aspects of it, know the job inside out, and then they have to be able to cater for all of the emergencies, and then they have to fly the aircraft. Yes, autopilot does it. That's to save money and to make things a bit smoother like that. But if you can't, you know, deliver the goods when the emergency happens and the engine catches fire or bits fall off or the pressurization doesn't work, that's what tests the pilot.
Well, nobody ever challenges a pilot when something goes wrong.
No.
On an aircraft. You're very much sitting down the back with the rosary beads hoping for the best. So I'm more on your side on this one than
can
the texters.
Can I recommend
a
movie?
They're coming from.
Miracle on the Hudson with Sully, Sullenberger.
Oh, yes.
Watch that and see what they did and then come back to me and say they're not worth the money. I kind of think they are, you know.
Tom Hanks does really good in that film.
He is. Brilliant movie. Yes.
It's one of those, no matter when it's on, I'll watch it. My two favourite aviation movies are Miracle on the Hudson
and
Air Force One. Air Force One.
It's full of inaccuracies, Jonathan, I'm afraid.
Oh, well, exactly. But how many bullets can you fire in a plane before it gets depressurised? But we gloss over that and we move on. Yeah, Kevin Byrne, retired Lieutenant Colonel and Airport Safety and Security Expert. Pleasure as always. Thank you for that.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.